We'll start only a few minutes early, so we'll go ahead. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we've set aside, and pray, Father, your presence, that you would take time just to work in our hearts and minds. Prepare us, Lord, for the rest of the week. Well, there's a lot going on in the world, Father, and we know that you know every single bit and the parts that every single person plays. I pray, Father, please, that individuals would get saved, that even those that hate you and are conspiring against you and your people, that even they would be given an opportunity, Lord, to come to the foot of the cross. Please save souls. Please take and use us, Lord, and be done with us. And bless us, I pray, with your ministrations this evening. We love you and thank you. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will. Amen. We'll start with Count Your Blessings. That's a good one to start with. 439. Count Your Blessings. We're going to see the business.
Discouraging, being all is lost. Count your blessings.
more humble whenever it comes to living our lives, but good pick for the start. Good pick for the start. Let's do 140 next. 140, Mrs. Bradfield, we have an anchor. Gentlemen are fit to stand. Stand with me as we sing. We have an anchor. 140.
Shall not be delivered. Go they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Go they climb up to heaven, whence will I bring them down? And though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent that he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before the enemies, thence will I command the sword and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Lord of hosts is he that toucheth the land. It shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out, upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Saith the Lord, have I not brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the fathers from Kaphtor, and the servants from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon a sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For though I will command, and I will set the house of Israel among all nations like its corn, they set them in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which would say, the evil shall not overtake it nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the bridges thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, says the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him the sower of seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine off. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Good verses there that say no matter where you go, you're never beyond the reach of the Lord, verses 2 and 3. And even verses 4. Sometimes whenever I read those verses, I'm thinking of Elon Musk on his way to Mars, maybe thinking that he can avoid all the bad things in the earth, but judgment comes for every man someday or other. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. Just want to remind you about the prayer lists. If you have anything that you want to add to it, make sure and let me know. And more importantly, make sure I write it down, because you know the old saying? If it wasn't written down, it never happened. And then we will add it to the prayer list. Don't forget each other's private prayer requests at this time. The Lord knows what they are. And be much in prayer. One thing that the lost don't have is the ear of a God that loves his children and is ready to make to adopt anybody into his family. Amen. Alright. I'm going to sing 356 next. 356. I lost the Lord Jesus. 356.
I cannot bear these.
but someone asked for 291.
Yes.
We'll do 291 next. I think I vaguely remember this one. We haven't sung it very much, but we sang it not that very long ago, didn't we? I am coming, Lord. Let's stand as we sing, and then I'll give you a rest for 10 or 15 minutes. Unless we have a Bible study.
Just
don't
use that clock.
Well, it's only 5 to 7. Loads of time. I'm surprised it's not going backwards in the process. A similar comparison was carried out in the book of Revelation, which compares the Antichrist, I think it's in Revelation maybe 3 or 4, and compares it to the actual Christ, and it shows how there are certain similarities, but many, many limitations on the Antichrist compared to the Son of God that gave us life on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Well, we're looking at the book of Romans. Let's have a wee read of this portion of God's Word. There's only 32 verses. We'll get through them in a flash. And we will see how far we get this evening. It's still only 5 to 7. After all that work, we went to get it down. And then two of us to get it back up. My wife thinks she puts the battery in the wrong way. So, if we keep going that way, we'll be getting home at about 6:30, and we'll have the whole evening to ourselves again. Anyway, on a slightly more serious note, Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection and the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let or held back hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the righteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them. Goodness, even as I was reading that, I was thinking about so much of what is going on in the world today. Anyway, we're going to begin at Romans chapter 1. We'll have a wee word of prayer. Will, would you like to pray for us? And then we will continue. Thank you.
Dear Father, thank you for this day of rest, Lord. Thank you for the rest and the peace
peace and understanding, Lord, in every different country, Lord, and we don't really appreciate it, Lord, and we should appreciate it more, especially the sacrifice of Jesus Christ died for us, Lord, and may that ultimate sacrifice that we might be saved, if only we ask in his name, Lord, and rest upon his sacrifice and his blood, Lord, for saving our souls, Lord. And Lord, give us this tonight, Lord, we are attentive to the gospel, Lord, as Mark comes to the blood of the gospel, Lord. Give us a blessing, Lord. And Lord, we use it in our lives, Lord. And also remember all the other churches throughout the world and the land, Lord. Be with them also, Lord. And you convert the sinners, Lord, and convert them and save their souls, Lord. And also, Lord, bring them back to their back home as well, Lord. We've had some prayer, Lord, give them as well, Lord. We've had Steve, Lord, thank you for bringing out the church today, Lord. We've called where he is, Lord, for nature, Lord, and place a ring of fire around him, Lord, and keep him safe from the Lord, and draw him close to the work. We've thanked him also, and help him recuperate, Lord, heal him, and mind him, powerful, Lord. Give us this night, Lord, and give us a blessing, Lord, and may our praises, may our attentiveness, may be our service, Lord, accept it in your sight, Lord, and be one for another, and give us a blessing, Lord. And may you bring us into Christ centered beginning of the week, Lord. We give us a blessing for our honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. Amen. Before we get going, we need to understand as Christians two things. That our eternity depends upon Christ. And our life right now, well, you can go as far as Christ and do as much with Christ as you want to do. It doesn't depend totally upon you and I, but we are the guiding force behind it. We can choose, even as saved souls, to say no to God and go our own way. And things maybe not work out as well as we expected, or we can choose to say yes to God and do things his way. At which point, according to the promise which we will come across in due time in the book of Romans, everything will work out for the best. That is why I believe it is so important that we are familiar with the scriptures. I think it's in the book of Ephesians where it says that it is literally the sword of the Spirit. It is the weapon of our warfare by which we can strike down the strongholds of people set up in our hearts, and people can see and hear and understand and be saved. The first seven verses of this portion of God's Word are all introduction. That's basically Paul saying who he is. He's saying he is the servant of Christ. And he goes into a little bit of a description of God. In other words, I'm the servant of Christ, but this is who Christ is. This is the Christ that was prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. At least you're going back 400 plus years. Just keep counting the years after 400. And Paul is saying, this is the man that was spoken about in the Old Testament. This is Jesus Christ. And he's not just any, in quotes, God. He is the Son of God Almighty, according to the flesh and fulfilling scriptures, the seed of David. According to the Spirit, he is the Son of God, resurrected from the dead. In other words, he is a different God. He's a different religious leader, a different God. Because, as we all know, even according to the Pharisees, they were talking about, they were debating, well, should we kill him or not? And I can't remember the name of the fellow, but there was somebody who had raised up an insurrection, and when they grabbed a hold of him and killed him, basically his whole movement died out. So they were thinking, if we do the same to this fellow, to this Jesus, his whole movement will die out. And that would have been great if he hadn't been God, and he hadn't been able to lay down his life, and he hadn't been able to take it up again. So we have Paul, called by Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is God Almighty, raised from the dead. He has the ability to command life and death. But more than that, he has commanded or even called us into a certain position. Verse number 5 and 6. He said, I'm an apostle. I'm doing the best that I can to stick to the preaching of the cross, but you're also called by Christ. Now I know a lot of people And it's in us all. We like to see great things. We are quite literally almost programmed to be fascinated by things that are out of the ordinary. And many times we think that unless amazing things are happening in our lives, we're not living for Jesus. But let's be honest. I want to be honest with you, friends. God doesn't need thousands of apostles, although and whenever the Lord takes all the Christians off of the world, if you want to have a wee look at Revelation, I think it's Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, you will see the 144,000, quite literally called the apostles, that God has reserved, male Jewish virgins, to himself to go out and preach the gospel in the whole world whenever all the gospel preachers are gone. But there's a space for everybody. Whether it's just being faithful in church, raising your family right, or whether it's to be set aside from the everyday things of life to take to have a deeper or a closer walk with God, doesn't make you any less of a Christian. It just means you're doing what God asks you to do. Now, verse number 7 was quite an interesting verse. It says, to all, what does it say? To all that be in Rome. And Rome was never a friend of the gospel. Rome was the capital of the Roman Empire. It was headed up by the Caesars, which in many cases were raging megalomaniacs, considered themselves even to be gods. And they took a huge toll on the early Christian church. Many Christians were rounded up by Paul and put into prison and killed in the amphitheaters. They were just thrown in with lions, and gladiators would hack them to pieces, bears and wild animals would tear them to pieces, and many of them, they went to their death singing God's praises. But the sheer fact that as Rome tried to squash them in its clenched fist, it caused the gospel to leave Rome and to spread everywhere. Everywhere, when the gospel is persecuted, we are like lumps of coal whenever pressure and heat is applied to us. Yes, some turn to diamonds and some turn to dust. And it is entirely up to you what you want to do. But there is a spot for everybody in God's kingdom. There is something for everybody to do. Sometimes there's many everythings for people to do. The one thing that Paul says here, first of all, he's glad that the people in the church of Rome are sticking with the gospel. And over the next few verses, all he wants for them is to be made better. To be better Christians, verse number 11. I want you to be established. I want to be able to do something for you, to give you a wee bit of teaching, of edifying. I want you to be better Christians. I want you to be able to see past all the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to do on you, so that you can be comforted by the gospel. Not if difficult times come, but when difficult times come. And we know that the Caesars did awful things to the early Christians. We know they were executed in droves, they were crucified in droves. There's even an instance, I believe, when Caesar had Christians tied to posts and daubed with tar and set on fire so he could ride his chariot around his garden at night. Worth it. Interesting enough, if you were to read on to the next book beginning with R, I think it's Revelation, it talks about Rome being the seat of the Antichrist and all the awful things that it has done through, not through all recorded history. Now Paul says, now just because Paul was an apostle for the Gentiles, did miracles, doesn't mean that everything went his way. Because we see in verse number 13 that Paul desperately wanted to come and visit the church of Rome. And here's an interesting repurposing of word. It says what was let hitherto. Now if we say to let something these days, we mean to allow it to happen. If I let you go and do something, that means it's in my power to stop you, but I have allowed you to go and do it. In the Bible, back when the Bible was written 400+ years ago, it means to hold something back. So he was withheld from doing what he really wanted to do. So just because you're a Christian, I want you to understand that not everything is going to go your way. There is an old saying that fair weather never makes a good sailor. Difficulties, having to depend upon God, show you that you can depend upon God now and in the future. And friends, once you're saved forever. You will always be a child of the King of Kings. Just like genetically, you will always be a child of your mother and father. And your heritage can be traced back to them. God will never ever let his child go. But there are Christians that God has had to take to the woodshed and spank their behinds. And there are, saved souls that God has had to... Did anybody's mother ever stand at the front door and call them in when it was bedtime? Yeah, they're all there. Anyone ever stand at the door or hear their mum or their dad call a wee bit earlier than they were expected because some of their mischief had been found out? Everybody's laughing, I'm smiling. Yeah, we're all there. Sometimes, you know, sadly, God has had to call Christians home early because of their misbehaving. I want you to understand here too, and I want you to see how humble Paul was. Paul had many claims to greatness. He knew a lot of languages, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, just three that we know of. He said, in fact, that he spoke in tongues more than all of the other people that ever claimed to be anything. He was well educated. There was maybe another language or two in there. Hebrew. He would have spoken at least four languages. And he learned a lot whenever he was ministering to people. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He even claimed as touching the law blameless. And God never punished him for that. He was telling the truth. But yet in all, he learned from the Greeks, from the barbarians. He called himself a debtor. Because he learned from dealing with real people. He learned from being out in the real world where people's real needs are. I can stand up here in church, and I could expound the deepest of the doctrines of God and how far they extend through the Bible and this, that, and the other. And it'd be absolutely no use to you day by day. Probably no use to me either. Or I can tell you the things that will help you. I can remind you to pray. I can remind you to read your Bible. The Bible says if I put you in remembrance of these things, then I'm a good minister of Christ, and that works for me. I am not highbrow. I am not complicated, and more so since I came out of hospital, my memory is terrible. I want for you to go, like Paul said here, edified or pointed in the right direction or helped or reminded of something that maybe you were looking for but couldn't quite remember. I want to impart a little bit of help to you. Because that's what you need. And can you imagine a Jew that was a tent maker or a sail maker who was used to revolving in the upper echelons of his religion, all of a sudden having to roll his sleeves up and get busy, get down and dirty, helping Jew public? There's a lot of lessons to be learned. In fact, if we read on, if we skipped on to verse 20 there, you would see that Paul did indeed learn many lessons as he was helping the Greeks, as he was ministering to the barbarians. He said, basically, I have found out that the invisible things of God are plainly seen through the creation of the world. In other words, it's like sin. Sin is like a weed. It's called weeds in one of the parables. If you don't pull them out, they're going to spread. And if you don't put something good back in their place, they'll spread even quicker. That's the invisible things of God seen from the creation of the world. And from those, we can understand that there is a God. We can understand his eternal power and Godhead. So that, come the day, even the most ardent of Christ hater who stands in front of God and says, I never heard the gospel. God can say, the whole of creation preached the gospel message. How do you think it all came about? Well, I remember the scientist said that cows came from something and sheep came from something and what else? Pigs and hens, they all came from a common ancestor. And how did they do that? The scientists say that, but they don't show the means whereby those genetic changes happen. There's no mechanism for it. Oh, it was radiation. Have you seen how many people in this world have had doses of radiation that is able to change their genetic structure? It has never improved them. It's not the X-Men. We don't get metal skin, retractable claws, and a crazy healing factor. We don't get that. We get cancer. We get genetic deformities. We get life-shortening illnesses. Anyway, God said, all you got to do is look around. Even in this day and age, there are so many things that are out there that can't come about through creation. How did grass evolve from anything? Or trees, the lungs of the earth, how did they evolve from anything? Surely if that was the case, they would still be evolving, because let's be honest, I'm surrounded by grass. And I have never seen anything but grass come up from the grass with the occasional weed blown in from across the way. Never. How many farmers in this world, don't forget and pray for the Dutch farmers, because they are being bought out of their land, being forced to sell their land because the Dutch government thinks that cows are contributing to the greenhouse factor in this world. They're crazy. But pray for them. They're going to be starving in a year's time. Pray for them. But for thousands of years, farmers have been raising cattle, sheep, pigs, chickens, anything that moves. People have been raising it for food. Bunnies, goats. People have been raising these things ever since men were about. And not one time did any cow give birth to a non-cow. Or horse to a non-horse, or camel to a non-camel, or goat to a non-goat. Not once. Never. And you would think if they had that it would be recorded with all of the data capture that goes on in modern farming. What better place to have evolution hard at work? Anyway, Bible says the invisible things of God are easily seen through the creation of the world. Type produces type, and kind produces kind. And even the very lessons, the chainsaw church message that we spoke on there about a month ago, that came to me whenever I was about a foot away from the chainsaw blade whirring around, cutting through tons of timber. It's amazing how that focuses your thoughts. There are so many examples, there are so many places that God quite literally works with us through his creation. Like the parables, he uses his creation to speak to us of heavenly things, just in the same way as creation does. But to go back to verse 2, the Lord also mentions the gospel. We'll call it the Word of God. It is the only publication that speaks of God. Men have written many books. The Word of God is the only publication that speaks to the Word of God, the purpose of God. That's not right. God's purpose for us, God's love for us, God's desire for us to be saved, God's labor for us, so much in fact, so that all we have to do is say, Lord, please save me, and all of that work, that sacrifice, will be attributed to you personally. It describes God's prophecies for us. Not for us, but for us to see and to say, well, do you know what? What other book has ever done that? He'd say, Nostradamus. Nostradamus predicted the future. Nostradamus was a fruit loop. Any of his prophecies that did come true, I believe, were stolen from the Bible, and people have become quite literal, mental, and verbal contortionists trying to make even the least of his other prophecies have any semblance of the truth, but you look at the Bible and read it out, and the stuff is literally coming true right in front of our faces. Where were you reading this evening?
Amos.
Amos. And it was talking about the, it was a description of the day. This is a description of today. And it was written years ago when the family and the church was everything. And we see now that when you depart from that, things start to go badly wrong, and it produced an awful blight on society. We see the same in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3, just at the tail end of Romans chapter 1, the effect of departing from God's teachings and doing things the right way has on people, abandoning God's teaching. We see the effect that it has on it, and we'll come to that very shortly. It is important that we know what's going on in the Bible. Literally, is that important? You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have a photographic memory. But you should take time to read the Bible. You should be able to, at least somewhere along the lines, if the preacher or somebody opens up somewhere in the Bible the preacher's message, it should like be one of those wee light bulb ones. Yeah, I remember that. Or the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. God said he promised he would do that for you. He would tie the pieces together in your head and he would teach you. And if you take time in the company of someone that is more expert than you, you will learn. It's a proven fact. Tennis coaches do it. Tradesmen do it. Teachers do it. And generally speaking, anybody that's there for the right reason is going to come away better for it. They will have learned something. I learned a ton of stuff whenever Norman and I were working at the church. I learned a bunch of things sitting in church whenever other preachers were up. Whenever I was just in the door and still wet, green and wet behind the ears, I learned by listening and studying. Children learn from their teachers. People that are up and coming sports stars, if you want to call them that, learn from their coaches and learn from older players. This is where we will learn everything that we need to know about God and how to live a life that pleases God. More than that, how to be comforted, how to find our purpose, how to get that little bit of power that enables us not to crumble at the first sign of hardship, how to trust, how to pray. The disciples not even say to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray and how to talk to God. And the Lord gave them the model prayer, but later on he said, you know what, it's okay for you to talk to God and tell him your whole heart. And you see, when you do that, the peace of God will pass upon all understanding and will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It's all in the scriptures. You're not going to find that in the Muslim, and what do you call it, the Book of Muslim, that's the one, and the Book of Mormon, and reasoning from the scriptures, or any of the stack of books that the Seventh-day Adventists write. You're not going to find that in there. But you will find it in the Bible. The Bible has the keys to heaven. And all that you got to do is turn to the right page. And I believe any soul that is genuinely seeking God, reading the Bible, will meet him there. We should never be ashamed to speak of our Lord and Savior. Never. It has given me the power to stand. To stand in the corner of a car park for years preaching the gospel, to walk around the doors, putting leaflets in the doors, and talk to people about the Lord. It's given me the strength to give up on a 9-to-5 job and, who knows, £40,000 or £50,000 a year to minister in a little church out in the country in the outskirts of Derry. It's given me the power to do that, quite literally, as Peter did, to walk on water, to live an impossible life. And that's cool to me. Gave me the power to save 60 quid on a headlight there just the other day. These things happen. It's the power of God unto salvation. We should understand it. And we should not only understand it, we should be ready to give it to others. Don't ever be ashamed of it. There's going to come a day, Revelation 20, that everybody that never accepted of that free gift will be ashamed. You know what happens to you when your life's over? When your life's over in this world, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we think of Luke 16, he died and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. That's literally what happens to you. You're died, carried by the angels up to heaven. That's it. You close your eyes in death, you open them in eternal life. And whatever you do, you have a glorified body. In your prime, so mid-30s, the best that you have ever been, physically. But more than that, every ailment and failing that your body has, including the sin, is gone. You are perfect. Not only perfect, you are kept by God. The power of God will keep you for the endless ages of eternity. Not only that, but he gives you his righteousness. You are covered in robes of righteousness. But all those that are not saved, the dead, small and great, they stand before the great white throne of judgment, naked and embarrassed, shamed, in front of the whole of the creation. With their sin nature, with their sins unforgiven. In, it's going to say glorified bodies, but immortal bodies. That God wanted to be walking on the streets of gold, but they refused point blank. It is, they're the ones that poked fun at Christians. They're the ones that rejected Christians. They're the ones that persecuted and killed Christians. They're the ones that produced these false Bibles. They're the ones that infiltrated what could have been a wonderful society, a society that spread its influence across the world by way of missionaries teaching people about God, and made us a society that wants to spread homosexuality across the world, like America. We'll give you $60 million if you adopt LGBT teachings in your society. And those leaders in the African states said, you can take a run and jump. Our society with the LGBT and all those other alphabet soup of letters being illegal is the best for our society, and we don't care what you say. Take a look around you, man. We should never be ashamed. Oh, you're being narrow-minded. I watched your man, Pastor David. Norman came across this guy on YouTube, Pastor David. He's a black fella that turns up everywhere, preaching the gospel, content with folks on the street. And a couple of, who knows what they were, a couple of alphabet letters went to the police and said, oh, he said something and our feelings are hurt. You need to go and arrest him. And he argued them to a standstill. And he said, well, I would have said, well, they have offended me in forcing me to deal with their mental illness and threatening me with harm by going to set you on me. They have offended me. People think they want to have their free speech to say and do whatever they want, but they don't want you to have yours to say, hold on a wee second, you're mentally ill. You need to go and get your head felt. You need to go and get right with God, get down on your hands and knees, and repent of that, and turn towards God while you still have a chance. Never be ashamed of the Scripture. If I can't be with you, I'll be praying for you, and so will many other people should you ever be in bother. And that's why you should pray for people when their names come into your head. The next three verses are something that people don't like to hear about. Norman read in John chapter 3 this morning. And the last verse in John chapter 3 goes something like this. If you don't get saved, the wrath of God abides with you. People don't like that. They want to think, oh God, God's like a granddad, a big jolly fat granddad that's going to let everything slide. And he gives you presents once. No, that's Father Christmas. But to sit on his knee and you tell him what you want, and if you're good, you'll get it. That's not God. God is a God of loving kindness, and as long as you're alive in this world, his loving kindness is extended towards you. But there comes a time whenever your righteousness is compared against the righteousness that's needed to get into heaven. This is what Jesus said. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and nobody's does, in other words, exceeds the most righteous people on the face of this world, he said, you'll nowise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's in the early, I think that's in Matthew 4 or Matthew 5. So the line is drawn, you have to be above it, and if you're not, which nobody is, then his judgment falls. Because God is a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And everybody loves God's loving kindness. God's a God of love. And he made us all the way we are. That's almost true. God is a God of love, but that's not all the truth. He's a God of love, he's a God of judgment, and he's a God of righteousness. And he made us the way we are. Yes, genetically, he made you the way you are. But the way you are right now is all of your decisions. Your decision to, as a man, to like men rather than women. As a woman, to like women rather than, that's your decision. And no matter what someone comes up and says, even with a loaded gun, and say, get down on your hands and knees and claim Satan as the devil. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to kill you. But I am not going to do that. I'm going to meet God someday. But I'm not going to meet him as a traitor and as a coward. I'm going to meet him as his child. I'm going to toe the line in what you prepared to pay. Because that's what it's about. And the time's coming, friends, in the Western world, where we will have to pay. Maybe not with money, we will have to pay. I remember maybe 40 or 50 years ago, but gospel preachers were treated with some respect. If you go out and tell someone the gospel, people feel quite free to tell you to blankety blank off. Back in God's day, you did that to a preacher, something bad would happen to you. People don't realize that those bad things are actually happening to you. I have had 2 threats in my life in the past year. I've had threats from someone saying that the UVF were going to get me. And then I had threats from someone saying the IRA was going to come and get me. And I would need to look over my shoulder. Years ago, you'd never have countenanced that. These are the days that people live in where they think that whatever's going through their head at any given moment is completely right. It is their truth. I'm afraid the facts are the truth, not your truth is the truth or someone else's truth is the truth. We live in difficult times, and the truth of the matter is that if you don't get right with God, there's coming a day in your life that the wrath of God will fall upon you, just like the Lord said, like a millstone, and it will grind you to powder. If you fall upon the rock, you will be broken, and God will put you back together again. But if the rock falls on you, you will be ground to powder, and the wind will just carry you away. There is judgment coming. God's wrath will fall. Because 2,000 years ago, God prepared a perfect salvation. And ever since, men have been selling people a bill of goods in counterfeit religions and false salvations. And they're going to stand in front of God someday, and God's going to, what's the score? Why are you not seeing it? Oh, I trusted in my priest. Are you trying to tell me that a priest has equal power to Jesus? That he can create worlds? That he can command the seas to roll back from the land? That he can create life from nothing? that he can light a sun with the word and set the worlds spinning around him? Can your priest do that? Of course not. Well, my Savior did. And I'm going to trust him before I'll trust a man that can't even remember to put a shirt on the right way round and wears a petticoat on the outside of a dress whenever he's standing at the front of a church. God's wrath will fall. A lot of people are going to be caught on, caught out. And it's not going to be pretty, and I can guarantee you they'll be looking for them for the endless ages of eternal life. And whenever the people that were led astray by these people are in hell, they ever come across them, they're going to get a duffing. I know I would do it. It hurts to be betrayed in this life, but hey, we'll get over it. It doesn't affect my salvation. But can you imagine being so down the river for the endless ages of eternity? What are you going to do to the guy whenever you say, oh, I forgive you? Not whenever you're in hell. Not whenever you know that the lake of fire is going to be your eternal home. You are going to, every time you see that guy, you're going to give him a kicking. And then you say, this is the guy, found him. They're just going to keep pounding on him. And then everybody else will join in too. God's wrath will fall. And it will fall on all of those that hate him. And it's not going to be pleasant. We'll take another minute or two. Verse number 20, we looked at very briefly earlier on. And these are verses that I have underlined in my Bible. I'll show it to you, but they'll probably not be able to see it. There and there is a wee bit of yellowy orange around. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Bear in mind that everything in this creation has God's fingerprints on it and speaks of God. Some people are going to say, what about those people that never hear the gospel? What about people that live away out in the jungles? And I know I've referred you to the acquaintance of Monica's that knew a man that who was just belonged to a tribe and never heard of Jesus, but one day used his noggin, because the supercomputer that God planted between her ears is still a supercomputer, even if you don't have all the education, it's still there, it's got all the neurons. And he worked it out in his head and said, you know what? If there's wicked spirits in this world that we have to appease with sacrifices, surely there must be good spirits out there. All you got to do is use your noggin. You don't have to only say the things that everybody else says and only believe the things that everybody else says. You've got a brain. You can use it yourself. But God is going to say to people, you had every bit of my creation. Things that couldn't have evolved. You've got that. You've got a moon that's supposed to be there for millions of years, and yet it's leaving Earth by an inch or two every year. If it was as old as you think it was, it would be gone by now. You've got a magnetic field around the world. That is lessening. I think the lessening of the magnetic field is going to give us some of these insane fireworks displays and meteors and fierce heats that's talked about in the book of Revelation. It's getting less and less because the earth is an electric motor. And it was set in motion one time. The metal core of the earth is spinning around like a crazy mad thing. Like a dynamo on your bike. And it produces a magnetic field that protects us from radiation. So we're not all cooked. And it's getting less. And then somebody says, yes, but every 10 million years it reverses. How? How does it reverse? How does the core of the earth start spinning in the opposite direction? Tell me how that happens. Whenever I was little, I had Evel Knievel. Anywhere ever I see Evel Knievel on the stump, right? And you put this wee pull into it, and you pulled it, and you let Evel Knievel go. And it was amazing, because he could do jumps, and he would keep going, and he wouldn't topple over as long as that wee gyroscope was going. I tell you, I think that's why my left shoulder got so built up whenever I was lifted, because whoo, and away down the park, whoo, and away again. And you'd be doing this hundreds of times every day, and watching that wee bendy, wiry figure of Evel Knievel. Who is holding on to that pull to restart the Earth's core going in a different direction? You ain't got to look at it. My goodness. Or the length of our days. What are we losing? A thousandth of a second every day? You ain't got to look at it. Go back 6,000 years and the days were 23 and a half hours long. Go back 3 billion years and the Earth is spinning so fast that it would have split apart and disappeared off into the cosmos. Can't happen. And all you got to do is look around and say, you say that oil was created by animals that were buried in sand millions of years ago, but science has showed us that oil can only remain under pressure in sedimentary rock, which is where it forms, for less than 10,000 years. And yet every single oil field they drill for pretty much comes shooting up out of the ground under pressure. Tell me, the invisible things of God are clearly seen through the creation of the world. Anybody, we can even use Google or Yahoo. What does Elite say? How is the earth slowing down? Magnetic field. The moon leaving the earth. Just Google it. And you can see it for yourself. That knowledge that was greatly increased that was spoken of in Daniel, you can avail of it yourself and use it properly. We can look at the things that are happening in the world and we can say, hey, do you know what? That happened today, but it was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago. We can say that. We look at the tail end of Romans, and we'll do that next week. Romans 1. We can say, do you know what? That is just a picture of the way people are today. They're just full of themselves. Oh, it's my truth. I hate that. That is. In other words, it's modern Satanism. Whatever I think is the most important thing in the world, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the world. It shows you what's really going through people's head. And their truth is normally I can go out smoking, drinking, doing drugs and sleeping around the country as much as I want. And nobody should ever say anything to me because it's my truth. Goodness, it's like lighting the blue touch paper on a stick of gel ignite and just waiting until it blows and everything goes badly wrong. Friends, it's so important. That is why I harp on and harp on about the Word of God, what's useful to you in it. I'm begging you and imploring you and praying for you to take time in the Word of God and in the presence of God and ask Him for help. I'm more than happy to help you, but I'm only a man. I can only do so much. Even the sheets that were out there, we could only lift one between us. I think there were 50, 60, 70 pounds each in weight. Sheet of steel and a sheet of plastic, or those things were heavy. I'm only a man and I'll help you. But God is God. And He can make anything happen. So ask Him for help. He'll send the angels to help you. He'll answer your prayers. Even the silliest of wee things like getting rid of the condensation in the headlight. That is just downright crazy. And it happened after I prayed about it. Lord, what am I going to do? And there was a rough car mechanic with dirty overalls who just wasn't having the best of days, hit the thump and said, there you go. And the water started running off it. Hey, that's crazy. He said, take the seat off it, switch it on, and drive with your headlights on. It'll be dried out by the time you get home. God works in our lives. He wants to give us all good things. wants to save us from a lot of that bad stuff that's going on. It's all in the book, and it's all around you. All you've got to do is look. Stick with him. I guarantee he'll never let you down. The answers that we need might not be the answers that we want. And the direction that he points us might not be the glorious and wonderful direction that will bring us praise and pats on the back, but it's not about bringing glory to us, it's about bringing glory to God. What's the Bible say? What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord said, if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and allow him to do in your life what he wants to do, he said, in due time you'll be lifted up. I would rather be remembered for an inarticulate gospel preacher than the greatest programmer in the world, or the greatest computer fixer in the world. Almost. Because in the end of the ages of eternity, God doesn't need any computer systems. But we certainly need God. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And we'll continue on there next week. Verse number 21. Amen. What's there, hymn books? Do we have one left to sing, or did we sing them all? Less of quietness. Was that one?
That was from this morning.
That'll do. 340. 340. I pray this for your hearts and minds. Less of quietness. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Instead, as we sing, let's make a joyful noise.
The screams of my heart flow.
you for, well, for being one of our number, for preserving your word for us, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for your long suffering and patience with us. For your forgiveness, for your salvation. And Lord, we just, Father, we just thank you for everything. We don't even know what we need to thank you for, the extent, the work, and everything that you've done for us. Please bless us as we go our separate ways, Father. And please walk with us as we, well, as we walk with you. I pray for power and deliverance and patience and long-suffering. I pray for purpose, Lord, and victory. Please be with our absent brethren. I pray especially for Frank, for Pat and Steve, for Lane, for Colin too. Or remember John and Anne, and remember Winston and Nicolette too, Father. Pray for the borders of Bethel to be drawn, for souls to be saved. And Lord, we pray for you to come back. For the cars, for the church building, for our homes, for our health. For the things that, Lord, that only you know about. Pray for them all, and pray most important, Lord, for your hand. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a moment.